Hello, welcome to the Max Show.
What's
the matter? Go on. Get it out of your... Go on, mate. Don't podcast angry.
You obsessed with Jim Hansen or something? What's going on?
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Go.
I don't get that. What the... No, because that'll keep me awake.
You guys keep saying Muppet.
Muppets, yeah.
Yeah.
Muppet. I'm not starting with that swig of gin. With just a smidge of tonic. Jesus Christ. Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, all the things that have gone on. There's been a keynote, which we'll kind of gloss over because we did a keynote show, I suppose. So we'll touch on the stuff for that. The iPhone San Bernardino thing has taken a bit of a sideways twist immediately after the Apple keynote, which was quite interesting. And we'll touch on that, I'm sure. But there's plenty of rumours now because the keynote's gone, you see. So we've got tons of stuff we can talk about. I've got a massive panel, and it's an awesome panel as well, I have to say. Starting us off, top left, Bart, where the bloody hell have you been?
Mostly in Ireland. That tends to be where I hang out.
Oh, Belgian Irish. Did you buy BelgianIrish.com yet or not?
I didn't, actually, although you can't see it. I am wearing my Belgium T-shirt for today, just for you. But
excellent, mate.
The thingy doesn't show it, so that was very clever.
I hope you had no family or anything caught up in all the shenanigans that have gone on.
I'm happy to say that the worst thing that happened to our family is that Mum's holiday for Easter was ruined. But that's really not a bad thing. You know, okay, it is a bad thing, but...
You'll take that over the alternatives.
Exactly.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Good to hear, mate. And if you've got anyone back there that you know that's suffering, then please pass on our warmest wishes, mate. Glad to have you back, though.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
I thought I'd really pissed you off after I told that.
I think this is the first time you've asked me back, and I said yes, so...
Well, no, okay. Well, we'll have you more on then, more often. But no, I came on your photography podcast, and I upset someone, which I didn't mean to. I don't know where that happened, but...
Well, you just called him a moron.
No. That was my inner voice. Slipped out. Oh, shit.
I have no idea what happened then. That was just weird. Because it just was. But, yeah. No, don't worry. Yeah. You didn't upset me.
You get two people who normally aren't complete wankers, and you put them together, and it's like poles, mate. It's like opposites.
I'm sure there's some sort of moral meaning here that, you know, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the two parts or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mean if Jeff is back on, we've got to get on together?
I might arrange it that you're not out at the same time. Might do that.
Oh, and the stream's not out, apparently. What's going on? Why is the stream not working? The stream's not working.
I am on the stream. I can see us, so...
Talk about your own stream. Mine's just
the stream's
fine.
Gone orange.
No.
Yeah. stream's not working. Consult your urologist.
No, that's weird, because... that's totally thrown me, because... hang on, let's test the watch live thing. Oh, no, it is working. That's the weirdest of shit. I can edit, don't worry. The stream button's gone orange, and I don't know whether that's a CPU thing, and it says I've got no connection, so... But it's working, so stuff it. Next to him, Adam, thank you very much for your lovely, kind comments on the iOS show, mate.
Oh, hey. You're welcome.
It was very pleasant, and the investigate your powers bill was the thing you were looking for.
Yeah.
No, you hit it at the moment, mate. I got that. I was quite impressed with your recall there.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if Bart will sponsor me when I move over there.
Yeah. No. Did you see that, Bart, on the other week?
Well,
there's Americans fleeing, screaming because Trump may make president to the island.
Well, welcome over here. If you're smart enough to leave the Trump, you're smart enough to be here.
There you go.
That is true.
Well, I mean, Adam, you're in
Tunisia, jobs working at Apple Finance.
They've had people move away. They're trying to entice Americans to come over.
But your business can run from there, can't it? You don't do anything that's real. Well, you don't have to shake
internet.
Anyone's hand.
I don't know. I'm guessing they don't have great internet out there.
I mean, you're
11
a bloke
miles,
that lives
11 miles off the coast of Ireland.
You're a bloke that lives in a closet.
11 miles off the coast will be more difficult, I'll grant you. Well, it's not too bad if you stay
like,
close to
that. That sounds like he wants to live on the Isle of Man.
I'm trying to remember the name of the island that I can't remember.
Isle of Man, Gaz is right, yeah.
Oh, the man?
Awesome.
All you need is a Ducati or an Aprilia so that you can ride really fast on your motorcycle.
Yeah, no speed limit on there, mate. You can drive as fast as you like. I used to work for a company called ROSPA, the Royal Society for Prevention of Accidents, years and years and years and years, and years ago. And the guy that was the chief examiner there was a guy called Bob Smalley. Lovely bloke. And he went and did an advanced driving test on the Isle of Man. There was four people wanted to do it, so he went on. And the first one he had, the guy, because it says in the manual, it says make maximum progress. So you should make as much progress as you possibly can. And Bob said he shit himself. He nearly actually defecated in his trousers because the guy there was driving like an absolute frigging lunatic. Because there's no speed limit on the Isle of Man. So yeah, if you've got a motorbike, it's perfect. Kill yourself, no worries. Beneath him, it's dark. How you doing, brother?
Fantastic.
What's been going off? Fantastic.
Man, I've just been super busy this last, week or so, and it's wedding season, so I have to do my officiating duties a lot, so I've just been super, super slammed, but having a good time.
Padre Rock.
That's why my voice is all jacked up.
You're not.
I swear I did like 10 weddings this week.
You're not part of a church of anything, are you? It's not like a Scientology thing.
I'm a non-denominational priest. To be absolutely honest with you, I got into the game when Hawaii did legalize same-sex marriage because so many of the guys here wouldn't do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so
the marriage bit. Sorry, mate. Got you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So since other people wouldn't do it, I'm like, well, you guys can believe what you believe, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. So.
That's all right.
You ever run the Church of Internet?
You should start some crazy shit sects or something like that going on. Sect. S-E-C-T.
Who says that you didn't already do that?
No, I know you do that already, so just a sect is what I'm saying. Patrice, how the devil are you, pal?
Perfect today. Really great.
Mate, no one round for dinner?
Nope, no one round for dinner, just me. And I'm here even on time.
Back to normal, eh?
Yes.
Glad to have you, mate. And last but by no means least, our man who missed out on his hobgoblin with Adam last week. You have pizza tonight, but you have what are you drinking, mate?
I'm going for Hobgoblin Gold again. It's one of my favourites at the moment. So
and Adam, have you drunk all yours then? You can't share one.
Yeah, no, I drank both. And I haven't tried the gold yet, so.
Okay.
I have a new mission.
We can't do a transatlantic hobgoblinness.
Not yet.
We'll have them sponsoring the show if we do things like that.
No, I tried to get rugby to, there's a beer, a brewery in rugby who do rugby beers, number 8,
right.
Scrum Down and that kind of stuff. And I tried to get them to sponsor the bash, but they gave us a cheaper keg. But no one drank the number 8 because it was 5% and everyone had to drive.
5%?
5%, yeah. The week in Apple, what's going on? So we'll start off with the keynote, I suppose. We kind of sat here through it on Monday when it happened, and it was okay, solid-ish, but no major shocks in that. The doubling down on security really hasn't worked, Tim. I hope you don't double down on encryption in the same way, really. Because it could be a wide open door. Was anyone dead impressed with it, apart from Doc? But, I mean, was that...
You just assume you know how I feel about it?
Oh, you, because you're major fan. All right, wow, are you saying that you're going to say something negative about Monday's keynote, Doc?
I don't say negative things for the point of being the douche and swinging the negative one, but I would definitely say it was butter. Like, that's it. Like, nothing special. But I don't... Technically 100% blame Apple. Part of that is the fact that everything is so heavily leaked that, and I've been saying this for 10 years, everything is so heavily leaked now that, the surprise element is gone. So basically what you go there for is to back up your rumors or whatever. I will say I was dead wrong about not thinking a small phone would come out, but no, it wasn't a backflipping keynote. There was nothing to backflip about. It wasn't even a small chubby. Like, there was nothing, but it was just liquid press release.
I blame Ewan, to be honest, because we've talked about all those rumors on the Mac show, so we all knew what was going on.
Yeah, because I'm the only person that ever reads out the rumor.
For sure. No, I'm joking, of course. No, it's
I thought it was solid. I think that, you know, we've got actually we do a what we call a live blog, as similar to other podcasts, but we've been doing it since 2008, Mike Potter and I, and I would say it was solid. And on that show I said we've got to lower our expectations. They can't come out with something every time which wows us fanboys and people who are tech freaks. The products were solid. What I liked was they didn't hang about. They got on with it.
Yeah, no.
And I think they've listened, they've heard, they know, they knew that they didn't have anything outstanding that was going to wow the press, but they had solid products that's going to take them forward. It was almost actually, I think, a keynote for the investors and the shareholders.
Yeah. Oh, and for the press. Crazy. I mean,
where is everybody's revisionist history coming from?
Go on, what do you mean?
This is nothing new. This whole, you know, Apple is suddenly leaking more than they ever have is nuts.
No, I don't think they are.
They're not. And the other thing is like, if you don't want to know about this stuff, then don't follow the button. The thing that's changed is there's more access to information now. But, I mean, anybody who's been following Apple or Mac stuff for a long time, I mean, I used to have Mac Addict and Mac User and you know, Mac World, and all this stuff was leaked back then. It's just less people knew where to get it, and now we have the internet and social media and blogs and
podcasts. But is that true for us?
When it's a magazine leaking it, it's a month late.
Because the rumors come out long before. Like, I knew Apple was switching to Intel long before they announced it.
Yeah.
I mean, those rumors were there. So that's, you know, that's nothing new. And the other thing that's driving me nuts is the people that say, oh, well, you know, there wasn't a big thing, you know, there wasn't big new revolutionary technology in this event. That's the other thing, is Apple only does that once every 3 to 5 years. Yep. And they've always been on that cycle. And so, like, why people suddenly think there's a yearly cycle or a 6-month cycle is nuts. It's everybody's own expectations. And for those people who are saying, oh, these products aren't compelling, it's mostly the tech nerds who are on the bleeding edge of technology. These announcements are huge for people who have a 5S and went, I'm not going to go to the 6 because I want a 4-inch phone. Or they're really big for people who are like, the iPad Pro, I really like that, but I want a smaller form factor. So, I mean, this is like some really cool tech. And even the tech industry now, if you look at the articles that are coming out now, now they're getting excited about it because they're like, oh, man, this 4-inch phone is awesome. And you're starting to see tech bloggers who have a 6S going, oh, I might want to roll back to this 5SE thing. That has never happened before.
Sorry, chap. Bart's forgotten that being polite on the show really doesn't work.
Oh, okay. That's where I'm going wrong. No, I definitely want to play devil's advocate here, because I in the past, Apple had to do a show on a given date. You know, they went to Macworld every year, so they had no choice but to have something to say. And some of those keynotes were a bit meh, because they just didn't happen to have anything to say. But this was an event Apple decided to have for no reason other than they wanted to tell us something, and they didn't really have anything to tell us. So why bother holding an event? It's only a couple of months until WWDC. I don't get why they bothered with an event when a press release would have done just fine. Like, oh, we put winners in an old phone.
This was more than a press release. I'm sorry.
If you look at the event, and I mean where it was and what Apple actually did there, I think it totally made sense. I mean, if it had been a big hardware or even a big announcement in the software space, they would have chosen a bigger venue. You saw that, for example, with the Apple Watch, for example. So that it was a small event, and just for, I mean, really a couple of people from the press should have told you what Apple was doing there, and I, for myself, I mean, I didn't expect anything else, and I did get exactly what I expected, and that was fine. Even the pace, I mean, for the pace for change was really, I would say even, it wasn't boring. It was well paced without cramming everything into 2 hours like they usually do. So it was really interesting to watch. It was slower, but it was, from my perspective at least, a little bit more interesting. Not every part of it, for sure, but it was, I enjoyed that change. And I mean, we will get WWDC. We will probably have a million things.
Okay, they told us nothing we didn't know about. This must be a one more thing about to come. And then he went, goodbye. What? Where are you going?
I think, so let's, just to kind of, again, play a bit of devil's advocate. I was actually really impressed with the phone. I thought the phone was, on first glance, on the night, I took the piss, and because that's what I do. But having looked at the stuff and looked at the benchmarking and the processor that's in it and what it does, what you've got there is a $99 phone or a free phone on contract that's last year's model. That's pretty cool.
You're selling out already. I mean, that,
yeah, you can take that.
Show that there's demand for this.
I think that's good. And the thing is, as well, that you know, I thought this would happen, but the instant I'm going to be careful because I think he's coming up the stairs. Ellis's instant comment was, "Yeah, I want an iPhone 5 SE," because he knew that he wanted it. So, and it is. It's a kid's phone. It's a low end enterprise phone, come kids phone. And I think they'll kill the market there. I think it's a very savvy move. Is it super exciting? I don't think so.
For us. It is definitely exciting for the people, who want a 4-inch.
But it was solid. It was really solid, and it was just a little bit maybe beyond solid. The only thing I thought was, everyone has this thing when they go to a when they hear a keynote of what they want from the keynote. And I don't think it delivered anything that anyone wanted from the tech community. So I wanted some bigger straps, didn't get them. I wanted something that was something I could buy, a bigger mouse, a better interface, some new device that I could do, or a better iPad charger that I could have that would charge it faster and solve the battery issues that I got. And I've kind of got that, but I haven't, if you know what I mean. So I think that's the problem, is that everyone looks at a keynote and says, this is what I want from it. And when they don't get it, they walk away going, that was crap.
Yeah, so and maybe that's also the issue.
Guys, one at a time. Duck, start us off.
Yeah, I put those settings from that one Bart dude in my Skype, and it didn't seem to do shit. I'm joking. the one thing that I really did want, for no other reason than, I don't know, boredom, was new straps. And I'm rolling in on tomorrow when they land in the store to go pick up a black nylon strap, because I've always loved nylon straps because they're great for out here with the humidity, or, you know, the occasional salt water splashing and whatever happens like that. So that is one thing that probably would go kind of sort of unhoorahed or whatever, but I do think that they're pretty cool looking, and I think they're pretty awesome. We'll see once we have one in hand. And I got to agree with you in the fact that if you really take it for what it's worth, cramming all of the 6's technology into that size of phone, and then, you know, keep the speed and the Wi-Fi and everything, the battery life and everything, all pretty good. It's pretty awesome.
Battery, I'm gonna reserve judgment on battery.
It always will take about 3 weeks to a month after it rolls out for the battery to level off. Guarantee when they ship, you're going to hear all these complaints for about a month, and then it goes away. But that's normal for us now. We know that. I don't think regular folks know that as much.
But yeah, but I mean, after that month, Doc, I'm going to still hold reserve judgment on whether the battery's a good thing or not a good thing. I think it's a smaller space. They've got a lot of tech in there, and I can't see that they can keep the battery the same, in inverted commas, even after a month.
But it is thicker, right? So
the cool thing is the enterprise stuff, though, for that phone.
Right, which one of you two hasn't done Bart's cheat on XML on Skype? Because one of you hasn't, definitely.
I have done.
Mine is
No, it must be mine, then.
Because it'd be ironic if it was me, wouldn't it?
One comment on the strap thing, just something I noticed that I think is significant. You notice Tim Cook called this their spring collection? Yeah. It seems to indicate to me that maybe they're going to do these updates with straps quarterly.
Yeah. Maybe the issue with this event for us is that I mean, we are used to having an Apple event and basically immediately taking out our credit cards because we know we will buy something, even if it's something small. And maybe that didn't happen this time around because the event really wasn't for us, for the most part at least. So maybe that's also part of.
Are we taking a piss at the new iPad Pro though? Because I think the new iPad Pro fills a humongous gap. Like, honestly, I would say had I known this would drop in April, I probably wouldn't have bought my Mangus one in December. But I'm not going to trade my Mangus one for a smaller one now because I like it. But it's definitely unwieldy and kind of huge and doesn't fit in any bags I own. And
okay, chaps, let's move on to the iPad Pro then.
Yeah, I love the size of the iPad Pro 12.9. I don't want to go down to the smaller size anymore. And I've had the Air, so I know what that form factor feels like.
There's an interesting thing come out today as well, though, that says the Apple says that the iPad Air 2 smart covers are not recommended for use with the 9.7-inch iPad Pro because, although it is exactly the same size, there's some shiz going on that means it won't work. And I'm like, oh, come on, Apple.
The magnets for the smart connector have to move. Yeah. So, yeah, you can't fit it.
It fits.
I don't think they do it just to be douches. I think they literally had to put the smart connector where they put the smart connector in, therefore the magnet might screw it up or something. It is very easy for us to be angry and say, oh, they did it to make us buy $80.
The Japanese bath cover, iPad cover from, I think it was 2, that was the best cover they've ever made, where it snapped on and it rolled back and it was sturdy and it didn't bounce and it stood up in landscape, as well as being flat in the thing. And they went back and they gave you one that was so shit that it had to clip round the back of the iPad in the end. The internal magnets on the 2 were superb. The cover was 2 was superb, and it didn't fit the 3 or it didn't fit the 4. It was absolutely douchebag. I'm sorry, mate. That's their one big, massive slip-up. Because they had a perfect product and they just let it slip. And now the covers don't stand up and you can't use them on the train because as soon as you go through a set of points, they shimmy and the whole thing falls over. And they never did on the 2. They never did.
Yes.
Well, I find the ones on the Giganto iPad Pro actually surprisingly solid. Way more solid than anything I ever had for my iPad 4.
Well, I did too, but because I bought a no-name one off Amazon.
No, okay. Well, I have the proper Apple one for the Giganto iPad, and it's actually really solid, I find.
Yeah, I have that one. I like it. I end up taking it off a lot to get it to stand up in various stands that I owned from before, but it's because I haven't rebought stands for the iPad Pro.
Okay, sorry, chaps. I was arguing with my son. I'm sorry, I don't...
I think it's great that they have the smaller iPad Pro so you don't have to choose between having an unwieldy big device or using the pencil and stuff. Because I think it's kind of ironic that my most portable device is no longer my iPad. My most portable device is my 12-inch MacBook. And it weighs about the same as my iPad, which is way bigger and way harder to carry around. So the iPad stays home and the laptop goes with me. Somehow that seems perverse, but it works for me.
Yeah, that's exactly the opposite of mine. I was just commenting that about 80% of the time now, I'm going out with the iPad Pro and leaving my 15-inch MacBook Pro at home.
I love
the one exception is when I have to do coding, and that's only because I can't run a full lamp stack on the.
I don't carry a MacBook around with me at all anymore.
Well, that little 12-inch MacBook is, it's like an iPad with a keyboard. I mean, it is so small and so light. I have a 13-inch MacBook Pro that hasn't left the house in years. But that little 12-inch MacBook does. It's just so light.
I like it. I mean, the other thing as well. Oh, I've got to hang on a second. I need to.
You know what's kind of driving my head crazy right now is that having not co-hosted this show with Bart before, I feel like I have listening to Taming the Terminal and doing the show at the same time. It's really messing me up.
the terminal. Hopefully you enjoy it.
I am in pursuit of faster charging for my iPad Pro, so I took the leap of ordering a USB-C charger, which does 29 watts, which apparently the iPad Pro can deal with, but you need a beefier cable, and Apple have released a beefier cable, so I've ordered the beefier cable, and actually on the beefier cable it says can take advantage of the fast charging facilities on the iPad Pro, so it's likely to work. So here's the iPad Pro charger. Right, there we go. And it's the same size as everyone would know that has it. And right next to it, here is the USB-C charger. Now, I can cope with that. So you're talking about an increase of about 10 mil all round in terms of dimensions.
It's not much.
And in terms of weight, it's fractionally heavier. It's not enough to worry about. But instead of USB, it's got USB-C on the back. Okay? So this bit of it, I'm happy to carry that around instead of this.
Yeah.
No problem. Whether the cable comes or not, and whether it actually does charge any faster, I don't know. But what I do have is because I went to PC World this week to order a USB 3 hub, and the guy that was there was a complete wanker and sold me a USB C to USB 3 hub, which I didn't want. And I'll admit to a certain element of wanker within myself because I didn't check. But I have a USB 3 hub that fits onto my charger as well now. So I'm going to plug that in and give it a go. And it's got Ethernet on the end as well. So you've got a USB hub thing and an Ethernet thing and a thing. But I haven't got a, MacBook. I'm not going to have a MacBook either. But I'm going to do that. And when this meet me, apparently my lead arrives on the 1st of April. So, or not. Because it's the 1st of April. But I'm going to give it a go. And I'll let you know whether it charges any faster. The key part is whether I can watch the cricket that day and whether the battery goes down or not. But I have the first part of my quest for faster iPad Pro charging, and it's not significantly bigger than the standard charger or significantly heavier. So that's a positive.
Yeah. That was hard to guess just based on the pictures Apple has on the website, how big it actually is.
Well, I mean, as I say, for those of you listening audio, well, you know, unless I actually physically read the dimensions out, I can't help you, which you can do by going and looking at the website. But if you look on the video, you can see the two I'm holding here, and it's negligible. It's 10 mil.
The more powerful one, that is the actual one that would ship with the 12-inch MacBook, is it? It's their USB-C charger.
Yeah, that's the USB-C charger that chips with the 12-inch MacBook. But allegedly, if you look at, so we covered this last week on the podcast, there is a rating in there for the Mexican electrical standards that says that the iPad Pro can cope with a 29-watt charge.
Yep, it can.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like, we had a listener wrote in, Greg, and said, oh, have you seen this? You could get faster charging potentially. But the problem was that you didn't have a decent cable. But now that they've brought the USB-C to Lightning cable out, it does. And actually, if you read the small print, Bob Beach in our Slack room found that this week, on the cable, it says, can take advantage of the fast charging capabilities of the iPad Pro. So thinking, this is going to work out of the box without a problem.
If it does, then the big question is, why isn't Apple shipping the iPad Pro with it, or even at least advertising
you
it?
You have to ask that question.
That's really? Just like, I'm sorry. Yeah. You've charged me £75 to give me a device that actually charges whilst using. And I'm sorry, Apple, but the device that I've got should at least charge while I'm using it, not go down. I've been watching the cricket this week with it on, and I've had a full charge in it, and it's been going down and down and down and down and down as I'm watching the cricket, just because the brightness is up and I'm doing video. And you're like, oh, sod off. That's a piss take. Sorry.
That's not normal, though. My iPad Pro has never behaved like that. But you the only thing I use it for is watching video, and when I plug in the charge cable, it does charge up, and it goes up instead of down.
No. You're lying. You're absolutely lying.
It does for me.
Well, no, now you've been on this podcast and now you've heard me say it, your iPad has got a little chip in it that will switch on. And that's it, mate.
We asked your listeners, last week or a week before, and they reported back that, yes, in fact, that is happening for a lot of people.
It goes down. And it didn't go down until I said it was going down on mine, and now everyone else's is going down the same way.
So you're saying that this show is like a virus that ruins iPad Pro?
Yes. Yeah,
well, mate, this show is a virus that ruins lives.
Yep.
According to some of the reviews I get, yes.
But to answer Patrice's earlier question, it's so Apple can sell more USB-C chargers and new Lightning cables at 25 and whatever.
£75. It's cost me, this experiment to satisfy all of you so that you can then go and buy what I've bought, it's cost me £75.
One for the team. Well done, Ewan.
I've bent over and taken one for the team, mate. Never mind just that.
Ewan, and purely selfish.
I think the iPad is trying to do something else because it's bored watching the cricket.
Oh, you got to watch the cricket, man. You got to watch the cricket. And you come in here on Friday mornings and it's tough because you've got cricket match or I've got a Super 12s match. Oh, dear me.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do. Don't know what to do. That's confusion, mate. That's absolute confusion. And in the end, I sit and watch it and don't edit. Go on then, Bart. What do you want, mate?
How much is just the cable?
The 2 meter one was £35.
Okay, so my bill will be £35. That's okay, because I already have the charger for the MacBook. Might be worth doing.
Yeah, but that's the penance you got for buying the MacBook.
Who says I bought the MacBook?
Oh, what? You got a gift of a MacBook. That's your worst enemy then, clearly.
No, it's a gift with a very, very, very large screen.
Sherlock Holmes sat down and he went, Moriarty bought me a MacBook. Oh, no. the chat room's going on absolutely mental. I can't read that out, Muller. And my son's in the chat room as well, by the way.
Yep.
Jesus. Yes, they are in PC World, Deepan. Well done, mate. I think as well, you know, all the devices that are in rose gold, I think, look a bit girly, to be frank. And I'm not suggesting...
Okay,
but I'm not suggesting this is particularly butch, but it doesn't look as girly. The SE doesn't look as girly in rose gold for some reason. It's not manly, but it doesn't look girly.
What did I tell you the name of that color was?
It's bro gold.
There you go. Thank you.
No, I'm lost now. Because I thought the gold gold was bro gold.
No, this is bro's gold right here.
Oh, really?
This is gorgeous, man. This is gorgeous.
Am I embracing my inner black man here?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I told you we were brothers, mate.
Yeah, I embraced mine in a couple of minutes when I got a whiz.
Oh, okay. Well, you can go and have that, mate. I mean, you guys... Dude, do you honestly think that I sit here through the whole show?
No, I wait until Adam goes on the rant, then I whiz and then I come back.
Yeah, good man. Let's switch the camera and it goes over and there you go. It was great when Kelly was on more because I could have a shit.
But you know, it's really funny. Like when I initially did it, I took a lot of flack from some people and a bunch of people that got it. Like everybody that has this color loves this color. And the odd part about it is this is the first iPhone where I've never wanted to put a case on it. And the same token, I'm so afraid to let it hit the deck. Like luckily, knock on wood, it hasn't hit the deck yet. But I don't like the
rose gold stuff. I think it looks cheap and shitty, but it doesn't look as bad on that phone. It's still not good. I still wouldn't buy it, but it doesn't look as bad. I'll give it credit.
You know what? I will say on the smaller surfaces, it does look a little bit better because on the, to me, when I first took a look at the gold iPad in the jumbo size, I was like, now you're just being a douche. So I can understand how it might look better on a smaller device. It's like certain cars look good when they're small. Like you see a little orange Fiat or a little yellow, you know, like a Mini or whatever, it's okay. But if you were to put that on a lead sled like Chrysler 300, that would look really, really stupid.
Yeah, the white inserts, I think, help break it up, too.
Now, for the first time in my life, I'm actually fully coordinated. My iPhone, my iPad, and my MacBook are all space gray. I don't think I've ever been as coordinated with anything in my life.
That's like suggesting that John Major's coordinated, dude. I mean, that's...
Hey, I'm old enough to take offense at that.
I'm hip because I got everything in space grey. What?
Yeah, space grey, not John Major grey. Space grey.
I don't.
Space grey is John Major grey, dude.
Major
grey.
Try hard.
I've got a space grey iPhone 6, and I was insistent when I bought my iPad Pro that I was going to buy a gold one. And even when Martin Kelly bought me the original one and I bought the Wi-Fi one, I still went and got another gold one. And I love it. I love it in gold. It's great. It's mostly in a cover, though, which doesn't help. Some Mac users are unable to log into iMessage and FaceTime following OS 10 11 update. And also there's some queries. There's a couple of bricks have happened, apparently, as a result of going to 9.3. I've got to say, though, it's sporadic and it's not a lot of people from what I've read. It's so, you know, tough shit. What happened to you then, Gaz?
No, it wasn't me. Actually, it was the Mac update. Guy basically completely balked his machine and he had to do a reinstall. I'm going to find out a little bit more later on when we do the show. And it's messed up all his iCloud settings as well. And we've lost some data. So,
Weren't a lot of them like iPad 2s or something like that?
It bricked the iPad 2.
Not Air 2s, but 2s.
Yeah, no, the iPad 2 was bricked, but I'm surprised. We're going back to the original, because I read that and double-taked on the Air 2, and then, no, it's the 2, and I'm sitting thinking, that's going back quite a long way.
Yeah, yeah. I did hear that lots of people were saying it had lost the Wi-Fi. So I thought, just turn your Wi-Fi off and turn it back on again. I'll bet it'll appear. And it happened to me, and that's what I did, and it appeared. So okay. I think there's a few people out there with lots of adjustments possibly.
I've got to say, all the errors and all the problems I've had with 9.3 have been application errors. So all I've done is uninstalled the app and reinstalled it, and it's gone away.
I updated all my devices day one and had, you know, knock on wood, zero issues.
Yeah,
so.
I've got nothing. And I've done the 10.11 update as well. And I was because I'm always fearful of it. The only good thing about my life is the fact that if I update the OS, the majority of the things that I want to work with are Logic and FCP or Keynote and Pages.
Apparently,
I figure that's going to work, so I haven't got to worry too much. But it's stuff like if Wirecast goes down with it, then I'm really screwed for doing the shows and stuff. But I've had no issues with that.
Apparently.
So I'm the crazy one because I'm running all the betas.
Because I know this happened. If you update to the 10.11, the latest 10.11 update, and you use Adobe Audition CC, I think there's some issues.
That's wrong.
We're getting a new... how long did you buy your 12-inch MacBook, Bart?
I didn't buy it. I've had it since... about November-ish.
All right, so that's okay. That's a decent time because there's a new one coming apparently. Early.
I kind of thought we would have heard it at the keynote. But
well, early 26. My point. That dude, we're on the same wavelength. It was clearly the other guy, not me. 12-inch MacBook coming with references to early 2016. I reckon. And this is not a Mueller level prediction. This is not a Mueller level prediction. I reckon that we're going to get a silent update. In the next couple of weeks,
all it needs is a few updated innards. Like, I mean, the industrial design is perfect. I guess if they could carve a hole for a second USB-C port on the mirror image of the one we have, that would be nice. But if they just made it Thunderbolt over USB-3, I think it's the perfect laptop.
Those references go in there, when they're pretty early on, and sometimes they don't get taken back out. So I don't read a whole lot into that. My guess is that Apple's going to update the MacBook line in June, more like in June around WWDC.
Yeah, but surely there's not going to be an update. They're talking about a new form factor coming, aren't they, potentially for that. And if there was a massive change in the form factor, then okay, fair enough. They'd leave that for WWDC. But surely now's about the right time for Skylake to hit. In terms of evolution,
they can always do a silent update. Just issue a press release and drop the machine. That's it.
But I can't see. I'm with Adam on this one. I can't see them doing a Skylake update now, a quiet one in April, and then going for a big update with a form factor change at WWDC. I think they've got to do both together or not at all.
I don't think they're form factor changing the MacBook too. I think there's a couple different rumors getting mixed up here. Because some people have noted, I think DigiTimes reported this week that Apple's prepping new 13-inch and 15-inch notebooks that
super slim
are thinner than the MacBook, thinner than the Airs. Some people are thinking those are new MacBooks. I think what they're doing is I think they're going to do an update to the 12-inch MacBook and also bring out new 13 and 15-inch MacBook Pros that are ultra thin.
Yeah, I mean,
you've heard it here from Adam. When they do a keynote and announce all this stuff, let's not be disappointed, okay?
Yeah. But no, it's like the 12-inch MacBook to me was setting out their stall, like, this is what we're thinking of for laptops. And so I don't think the 12-inch MacBook is going to have a hardware change for a while, apart from its innards.
No.
I think the MacBook Pro is going to be brought in line with the design philosophy of the 12-inch MacBook.
Right, that's exactly right. And so the lineup is going to become 12-inch MacBook. They're going to drop the 11, 13 Air line, and then you'll have 13, 15 MacBook Pros, and that's the notebook lineup.
But if you're going to USB-C, that's fine, but that's not going to handle the data that most people who want a Pro want. And if you're going to change the form factor with the Thunderbolt cable, you aren't getting it a lot thinner.
Well, okay, but you're not going to change it with Thunderbolt cable because Dell are doing this already. Like, so I got my 12-inch MacBook, and my colleagues at work didn't like Mac, so they got Dell XPSs, which were the same price but little 12-inch laptops. And what Dell is ahead of Apple on is that Dell have a USB-C port that carries Thunderbolt. So it's Thunderbolt over USB-C, which will do DisplayPort as well. And that's because they have newer Intel chips in their little notebooks than Apple do. Mm-hmm. And so if you put those in the Pro Lite notebook, you have a proper Pro notebook. It's full Thunderbolt 3, USB-C. Yep. What more do you want?
Yep, you'll have multiple USB-C ports that do Thunderbolt and DisplayPort. Yeah. So.
But I mean that's what USB-C from even from the get-go was promising, to have everything over this one port.
The only thing I'm thinking though is, and I think Apple's probably not. This is an interesting discussion maybe to have, but I don't think they do themselves any favors, because when they drop new products like they did with the MacBook, I think everyone was trying to search for where that fitted into the product line. And Apple shouldn't be letting us trying to work out where it fits in the product line. They should be telling us where it fits in the product line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they did that. No, I don't think they did that. No, they didn't. They called it
a consumer notebook.
Yeah, I know what it is, and I know where we all figured out that it went. But I was sitting looking at it going, well, hang on, that's not as good as my current MacBook Air at 11 inches. So I'm sorry.
That
doesn't compute.
Yeah, I disagree with that statement, too.
The MacBook Airs are legacy machines now. I mean, they're junk compared to the 12-inch MacBook. Like, I'm sorry, but that non-retina screen, couldn't pay me to
But no, hang on. You're not going to throw a retina screen at me and tell me that that's the difference between processor power and Thunderbolt compatibility, which the Air carries. Just, I mean, I don't need the extra resolution. Bollocks. I'm only got an 11-inch.
Your eyes do. Your eyes certainly do.
No, they don't. I'm not as old as you. Maybe I am, but that's not the point. Maybe I'm older, but... my point was...
can't fit enough.
I think they've done it with the SE as well. I think they've got this. You know, they launch this thing. They say what it is, but they don't tell you where it fits in the line. Okay, you can sit and go back to the price point and work out where it fits in the line. But actually, you know, they didn't hammer home enough on Monday night, because I've kind of this is where I've got to the point now where I'm like, actually, this is a really good phone. I'm really impressed with this. I wasn't impressed on Monday night, and I should have been impressed on Monday night, not 3 days later when I've sat and read all the specs. They should have been hammering home.
That's a very fair point, because Steve Jobs would tell us a story, and Tim Cook hasn't picked that skill up. He doesn't tell us a story. Like, you know, Steve would tell us what the problem is, what needs the solution, and ta-da, wouldn't you know, we have exactly what you need right here.
Yeah, no,
that's a fair point.
I didn't walk away Monday night going, do you know what? This is a really great phone. It's taken me 3 days, 2 days, because I was drunk the other night, to figure out what it was. It took me time to figure out. And that's the thing with the MacBook, is the MacBook, it came out, you saw it, you didn't work out where it fitted in the line, and then you fitted out, you know, what happened with it. And where you wanted it to be, and that doesn't make sense to me. The company that is selling you the product should say, "This is these are our $11.99 anoraks, and here's our $15.99 anoraks, and here's our £22.99 anoraks. Which one do you want?" And they're not doing that. They really aren't doing that.
Yeah.
God, am I right? Jesus.
No, you are right.
It's a fair enough point. I mean,
point two. They didn't tell us a story. Like, when Steve Jobs introduced the iPad, he laid it out. He spent a good 10 minutes building up to what the problem to be solved is. And when the white
part was
here, it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Ethos, pathos, and whatever the other one is.
Yeah. I mean, he told us why the device exists. Where does it fit? Why does it exist?
Yeah,
I haven't heard that for the MacBook or even the iPad Pro to a certain degree.
Sorry, Adam, start again, mate.
They used to have that, you know, that slide that they would throw up that was like the quadrants of like who each product was for. This is way back when. But I think more recently what that morphed into is what Bart's talking about, where Steve Jobs would lay out, okay, here's what other people are doing, what other solutions are out there. Here's kind of what the problem we see is and why this isn't working. And boom, here's the solution.
Yeah,
and if you go back and watch those keynotes, he's absolutely right. And they used to lay out that story. Whereas now, because it's not just, you know, Tim, I think, telling the story, you've got other executives up there. It's much more about, oh, here's the new thing and here's all the new technology. They seem to have moved into liking to talk to us a lot about, you know, subpixels and all these esoteric things that are a little bit, you know, irrelevant.
And it's 12.1 centimeters thin. Now, I go back to, you know, if you want to start marketing things, you want to start selling things, you've got the old the old Aristotle thing of ethos, pathos, logos. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's that, you know, where's the passion, where's the logic of why I need it, and where's the how it fits into my social and cultural life, which Jobs did do. You can't, you know, I'm not his brilliant greatest fan by any stretch of the imagination, but he stood up and the boy could churn out some, you know, he was a barrow boy. No, he's definitely an East End barrow
boy. He could do a keynote.
Yeah.
Well, it was different. The people that do it and know that they're doing it, and there's the people that don't realize that they're doing it, and then those that just don't know that you're supposed to do it. So literally, that's how it goes. And it's really funny because it's like many, many people will take the piss out of how is, you know, like Adele just so amazingly popular. She is one of those singers that in her lyrics, she covers that for a whole bunch of people. She hits the whole triangle. And somebody else who might be just as talented vocally never gets those kind of hits because they don't hit all of those things. I'm not going to for one second say this normal chick who just happens to be an amazing singer sat down and thought out, I'm going to hit all three of these points in all of my lyrics and make sure that every song I put out is a winner. I'm going to guarantee you she doesn't know that, but she just does it. And so she's that quintessential, like, you know, what's that lady's name? I was going to say Donna Summers, but that wasn't my answer. Diana Ross. She's the modern day Diana Ross. She hit all of the right numbers and all of the right ethics. And I think this is the same thing with Tim. I don't think Tim realizes he should do that. It's not in his persona. So he comes from a different angle when he does his notes. And I think we all pick up on it, and we might not know that we pick up on it until you brought it up.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I think you hear him sometimes try to spin a story, but I don't think he realizes what the story should be like, and his story is very, very different than what I would expect a good story to be.
Comments and reaction to the FBI are so different. If that were Steve, we would have saw something completely different. And maybe, you know, the things that you and Steve had to take a piss out of Tim for maybe wouldn't have happened with somebody, Steve, because he knows how to run a story totally different.
Tim's a numbers guy. He's much more analytical. He's much more matter of fact about how he presents stuff.
Which is what makes my points even more surprising. That I'm allowed to make that point in front of someone who's like that. Yeah,
I understand. I understand what you're saying, and it does make a lot of sense. And, you know, it's just it's really weird. I was thinking the whole time you were saying your points, I'm thinking maybe they want people to decide for themselves. But then if you go through Apple's history, yeah, that's not it.
Yeah, no. So that is exactly my point, and that goes back to my point about the, you know, the ethos, where does it fit in my life? The pathos, here's the passion of why this is the best thing since sliced bread. The logic is you can't do without this. That's what Jobs did. He did those three things every single time with every single point that ever he got and every product.
Are there any other product guys out there that do it the way he did it, though? I mean, has anybody stepped up to the plate as well?
I don't think they've analyzed the they haven't analysed the game plan, you know, and I think I'm not Jobs's greatest admirer, not by any stretch of the imagination. I think he was a guy who was very good at gathering people around him who were smarter than him and utilising their knowledge to get what he needed from that. That is a skill in itself, absolutely. You know, he's not a genius technologically. He didn't create hardly any of the products that we see in front of us with Apple. But he sold them. He absolutely sold them. And you can't
He also enable them?
Yeah. No, he's basically a musical director or something like that.
No, I think people came to him and said that people can do this, and then he worked out how he could tell people that they needed to do that. And that was
the
difference.
Well, he also gave the right people the power to actually create.
So he recognized
the English chap whose name eludes me, Johnny Ive, was already in Apple. He was just being ignored.
Yeah.
He was making cool stuff he was designing cool stuff that was just being ignored, and it took Steve Jobs to come in and say, yeah, him, give him the power, and out comes the iMac. And
you're right, Bart. You're 100% right.
Exactly. But that's a facilitation. It's not a genius in of itself. He wasn't a creator, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Some people see it that way, Julian, because you look at Claudio Ranieri, right? Like, he took a bunch of ragtag kids from Leicester, and they're beating the crap out of the table right now. And it's like nobody on that team makes over $4 million a year. And they're like taking Manchester City, you know, a team that's worth a half a billion dollars in payroll, and they just smoke them. I mean, like, So there are people out there, like Bart says, that know how to dig the best out of people and find the gems, find the diamonds. You know, Vardy was not even a conversation 2 years ago, and now look at him.
I think Jobs had a classical element to him, that he looked back at the way that evolution had worked. He looked the way that human evolution had worked, and he maximized upon that in terms of you know, what did the great thinkers of time do to create a necessity, a need, a sale? You know, you look at all of the emperors of Rome, they were all about the sales pitch. Nothing else. All they ever wanted to do was control the mob, and he probably had some study to that. So,
yeah. We'll be getting a bit deep now, though. he still saw what people, I'm guessing at least, that what people can do, what they are capable of in his company, and pushed them to do those things. So, he didn't expect anyone to do anything crazy. He saw what was possible, and he made it happen. He didn't do it himself. He just made sure it happened.
Yeah.
He created the environment, basically.
I did write on the day after he died, you know, there was a great respect for what he achieved in his life and what he did with Apple, and particularly what he did with Apple when he came back to resurrect it and breathe life into it. But, you know, people going, oh, this guy was a messiah, an absolute genius. Well, steady on, you know, he didn't take any chance of treatment for a cancer that was curable. Steady, you know, let's put it in perspective.
He's a fun figure because he's so spectacularly grey. Like, for every good thing you say about Steve Jobs, we can tell a story that makes him out to be a complete and utter a-hole. Like, that's the fun of Steve Jobs.
One of the most polarizing characters.
He was very human in that respect.
Yeah.
Hey, can we, since he was brought up, can we talk about Ive in the keynote a little bit?
I was going to ask. So where was Ive?
You didn't see him in the audience. He didn't.
He's
present,
designing
and
something.
He wasn't even voiceover on a video, and he would have been. I would have thought the Liam video would have been voiced over by Ive, right? Maybe he didn't have any involvement with that project, and that's why. But I found it very interesting. I'm not reading anything into it. I don't think there's I don't think he's on his way out or anything like that. We do know that he kind of wanted to have more family time, so I'm wondering if it's just, you know, that sort of thing.
I've got a different theory. Do you mind if I share it?
Yeah, okay. Share it.
Tim listens to this podcast, and the last time that Johnny did an Ive-esque video, Will went, holy crap. And he listened to 50 Shades of Ive. If you want to listen to it, go to, it's on it's on the server. Thanks to UK2, by the way, for allowing us to do that. Go to bridgetentnetwork.com/50-shades-of-ive, and you can watch 50 Shades of Ive. And it is us talking about Johnny and taking the piss out of Donnie doing a video. And I think a lot of people took the piss out of Johnny doing yet another video, and I think they went, you know what, let's just leave the Johnny video out.
Well, I think that also goes to the length of the keynote as well.
It's not long enough for a Johnny. That's a different phrase in the UK, by the way. Because a Johnny's a condom.
it should be too long, but anyway, do continue.
I'm not going to be able to finish this, am I? I think they've basically listened. They shortened the keynote. They knew that they didn't have anything outstanding. We'll do it. This is the length of the keynote. Do we need Johnny Ive on any of these? Maybe, maybe not. Actually, we got a lot of, you know,
but
bad press when he did the, you know, the talk over in the last one. So let's change it. Let's mix it up a bit.
I think it's much simpler than that. Apple get the execs out who were directly involved in the stuff they did. There was nothing for Johnny Ive to do. We took a case Johnny designed 3 years ago, and we shoved some new innards into it. Wow. What's there for Johnny to say about that?
and to be honest,
did he wear a condom when he was shoving those new innards
anymore?
In?
I mean, he's now chief design officer. He's not running the research department anymore.
Have you noticed though too? He's become much more the outward face of Apple. Like he did the you know, a couple different interviews outside of Apple. So I'm trying to think, you know, with the Telegraph, he was in Vanity Fair, he did a thing for a couple of the news channels. So he's showing up a lot more outside of Apple's internal stuff, which is interesting.
I don't think he's a dead issue at all. I think I think it's like they exploited that formula for all it's worth, and now let's just hold on to it and let's bring it back again when everyone's forgotten that Johnny did that.
Yeah.
Let's get him back to eating sushi and designing shit. and while we're on talking about the inappropriateness of this podcast,
Have you been watching your chat room?
The chat room, the thing what gets me is, right, so the thing what gets me, that's really crap English, sorry, I didn't mean that. The thing that gets me is, like, people write really bad reviews about the entire thing, and then none of them have ever sampled the chat room. And what the chat room write is, like, me on acid, having drunk 20 pints of Guinness and finished off 2 bottles of whiskey, and they're just like, and they're sober. We've had a review. If you want to leave us a review, thank you ever so much to all the people that leave us a review, apart from Tofu Boy. So Tofu, but now Tofu, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost certain actually, Tofu Boy is not a new reviewer. He's amended his review, and he's put, "What's the matter with the presenter?" Sounds a bit personal before we even start. Tone it down a bit. The language is very unprofessional.
What, English?
And the show is not very well put together. And I've got to say, I'm taking that as a compliment. Because the production values on this show are freaking horrible. We do our best, but, you know, it does fall apart regularly. The only thing I'd say, Tofu, because you have left a review before, is if you want to give us a one-star review and say, what's the matter with presenter, and complain about my language, apparently the use of bad language shows intelligence, and I'm not the one that's listening to a podcast that I really hate. So,
for a long time.
For a long time. So thanks for your review, mate. Absolutely. Love it to bits. Thank you for leaving the review. Thank you for the one star. At least it wasn't zero, although I don't think iTunes lets you do a zero. If you'd like to leave us a review, please do leave us a review on iTunes. Any of them will be read out, and some of them will be thanked for, some of them will be have the piss taken out of them, and others will be just completely ignored. But I will speak about them, and I'll say what they are, because we're okay with that.
I absolutely, absolutely love it when people try to take the piss out of you saying that somehow colorful language somehow, like, makes you dumber or not dumber. And I go, well, it's only colorful to you, because if I was to stand in a place that didn't speak English and said the same things, nobody would take another thing. You just take offense to words. Kind of makes you more dim-witted than myself. And I would stand toe-to-toe in a Mensa test with anybody that says my swearing makes me stupid.
No, the only thing I would say is, and someone wrote an email the other week, and I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks, and I think what we're going to do is I think we're going to make this an explicit tag, because the person said that although we don't, because I always bleep the F word, I won't have that in, so it always gets bleeped, and occasionally I miss a couple of them, which I'm very sorry about. I don't ever mean to offend anyone, I've just completely missed it when it, you know, I try and make a note of them during the time codes and that kind of stuff, but if I have missed one, I do apologise. But we do say we do say shit and wanker and that kind of stuff, which is really not child friendly. So I think we're going to Ellis is here, by the way, listening. I'd forgotten that he's down there somewhere.
Well, you think that was cause you?
But he's listening to you all day.
It's so okay. He just waved to me, so we're all right. Thank you, social services. So I just think we should probably go to an explicit tag, just because. And there was a guy wrote in saying, you know, I'm in the car with the kids, and generally it's okay, but then one word comes out and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't let the kids hear that, and we shouldn't do that, so I do apologize for that kind of stuff. So we're going to go to an explicit tag from now on, and if that dents our ratings, I do apologize, but it's
probably go up.
Yeah.
The hard part there is one person's explicit is perfectly fine to another person.
Well, like, I think wanker and shit
are
really
norms
there,
here, you know? Because, you know, chite is apparently fine, although I got in awful trouble for saying that on some podcast, so you never can tell.
That one just puts it nice in the chat room. Thank you, mate. It's the unexpected ones where, you know, he's in the car with the kids and all of a sudden I came out with something that I shouldn't do, and I do apologize.
You need to start running the chat room stream along the bottom if we're going to get the explicit tag, and then everybody
dude, we get pulled. I mean, the stuff that gets mentioned in here is just unfathomable. No, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. We'll be pulled in an instant.
People who don't see the chat room are all going to the links, you know, BristolNetwork.com/chats, and they're looking into this and going, holy goodness,
but,
what is
see,
this?
Docs,
but remember, people, never click a link Muller Biker is posting.
Too right. Too right. Here we go. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2 as well as us. We love them to bits. They really do step up. We've got the 100TB server, which is if you're an American, you're going, oh, well, I don't want to use UK2. I want to use an American company. That's fine. Go to 100TB.com. They're part of the same group. And they're the ones that provide us with the live server and the NQL feed. So every time that you go to the live channel, britishtechnetwork.com/live, and click play, you will get a show. There will be a BTN show. And I noticed actually just when we were going for a curry that I must not podcast whilst drunk was playing. So, which is an absolute classic in two parts. And that's thanks to UK2. It's more inappropriate than we've ever done in our entire lives. That and Debbie McGee's Five of Spades. Is the show ending? No, Phyllis, it's not. UK2, if you want to know anything about UK2, anything for domain names, hosting, VPN, VPS, co-location, any of the stuff that you want for the web, UK2 can deliver it to you, and so can 100TB.com with personal service. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and you'll get all the offer codes. You can wipe 20% off your basket, and then go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you're an existing customer, and they'll know that we sent you, your recurring BTN visitor, and we get kudos for that as well as. They've just renewed our servers, so I mean the server that we have with them costs us £400 per month to store all the data that we've got. We've got 3.5 terabytes of crap. Crap shows in audio and video up there, but you can virtually get every show we've ever had going right the way back to the Bagel Tech days, and that's because UK2 support us. We'd be lost without them. Thank you so much to your support, and they'll be with us for at least another year. Yeah. The other people I want to talk about are Hoya, because they're a sponsor of our podcast, and we love them to bits. Batwench is sat here. Batwench, get yourself on camera, woman. Come on. Show your glasses. Here we go. There's Batwench's glasses. She won those in a competition with us. Mark from Hoya gave her those. They are absolutely beautiful. And I wear, this is a special set that were made for me by Hoya to review the lenses themselves. But they are the focal length of the camera over there and then the keyboard here and stuff.
Wait, so, can we see that mic placement again? I was kind of into that.
The mic placement, what do you mean?
Talking about Batman.
What's that?
Oh, Doc.
Oh, no, yeah. So, hang on, where did it go? There we go, that's it. There's the mic placement. And as you can see, the power is on. And there's the channel code. Yeah, no, so we're definitely on to our explicit tag this week. No, I don't want to see Muller's cleavage. at the end of this, when I finish the Hoya ad, we'll go back to Batwench and she'll show you her party trick with a pint glass. There's a pint glass behind you, mate. Hoya, awesome, love them to bits. They are a great supporter of the podcast now. If you look at the review for the Hoya of Antec stuff that I put up, that was before they were a sponsor of the network, and we love them to bits. There's a video, behave you two. There's a video on the Hoya website which talks about the average person has contact with 7 Hoya products every single day and they don't even know it. So the chances are, if you've got a camera lens in your iPhone or something like that, Hoya will probably make the glass for that. So it might be branded as Zeiss or anything like that. Shut up! Jesus, I can edit. It might be branded as Zeiss or someone like that, but the chances are that Hoya have actually made it for you. Anything with an LCD or an LED panel, particularly in your car, they're probably the people that make that as well, which we've all got. And also, they're the biggest producer of photo masks in the world. They do car parking camera lenses and those kind of things and security camera stuff. And they also make the optical stuff for spinning hard drives, which still get used in major data centers and that kind of thing. But, and you're going to love this, I've got a world exclusive. So this is embargoed, right? You cannot show this unless you are BTN. I'm so over the moon about this. Mark sent me the stuff through and he said, look, you know, we've sent a press release out on this and it's embargoed, but here's a few candid snapshots and BTN can do this. Hoya have a brand new Avantex system and attachment process, and it's the best thing since sliced bread. These are called their top loaders. So you remember the Hoyer Advantage? Let me just quickly show you mine. So you'll see that there's like little tabs that are milled in on either end, and they're grabbed and held by the frames and by the center parts. Yep. This thing is a perfect frame, but they're held at the top, and you can just see it there. Look at the very top. If I go around to the other side of the thing and look, you can see there's a little tiny lug. It holds the entire frame securely in place, or the entire lens securely in place to the frame. Just one lug. So that means that the stressing on the lens is less, the distortion and that kind of stuff is reduced, and you end up with a fantastic looking pair of glasses. Doc, do you want a pair?
Yes.
So if you want a pair, all you've got to do is write to podcast@hoyer.co.uk and ask Mark to come out and see you. He'll measure you with the iPad. He'll do the whole prism thing. It's absolutely incredible to have it done on you. And he's coming back in a couple of weeks because he's going to measure me and Muller up and see if our dimensions have changed and readjust the glasses and all that kind of stuff. You can buy these anywhere in the world. So get in touch with Hoyer with podcast@hoyer.co.uk. If you've written in and typed podcasts@hoyer.uk, that may be my fault. I do apologise. But they haven't got that email at the moment. They've only just created it. So if you have sent an email in the past few weeks, please send it again. podcast@hoyer.co.uk is the preferred one. podcasts@hoyer.co.uk is the one that should be picking up now as well as, and you'll get hold of Mark, and Mark will give you all the details, and he'll tell you all about the implications and that kind of stuff. If you're a glasses wearer, you've got to try these out. Just at least try them, please, because they're absolutely brilliant. Thank you to Hoyer for looking after us, because we look after them, and we love them to bits. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Bart, stop looking out the window. Behave, boy. You're like a Monty Python sketch.
A giant big iMac, but similar, I guess.
I felt like Mr. What's-His-Name shagging his wife there, and you were looking out watching the football. Right,
oh, you want me to go cool thingy?
Cool thingy. Stick it in the chat room, please, sir. Off you go.
Okay, well, you see, I'm trying to decide how cheeky I'm going to be, because I have something of my own I sort of want to pick as a cool thing, but I'm not sure if I'm cheeky enough to pick something of my own.
Go for it.
What do you think?
Go for it.
So myself and Alison Sheridan are working on a new series, which is a follow-on to Taming the Trimmel, which is Programming by Stealth. And the theory is lots of people want to learn to program, but an awful lot of the tutorials kind of go from zero to we're running way too fast, and people just kind of go, ah, and just give up. So the reason we call it Programming by Stealth is we're going to sneak up on programming and get you programming before you realize it, is the theory anyway. So we're basically HTML, which isn't really programming, and then CSS, which isn't really programming, and only then do we throw a bit of JavaScript at you, and at that point, ta-da, we've tricked you, you're now programming.
Which isn't really programming.
Well, JavaScript is.
Scripting.
I'm going to defend JavaScript as a real programming language. Especially if you know, it runs on servers and stuff, too. JavaScript is real.
Developer nerds, calm the hell down.
We might have different opinions on that.
A German picking a fight with a Belgian, never happened before.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, wear your flags upside down.
You three, yeah. You know that everyone can hear you, right?
Yeah.
So shut up then. Sorry.
Oh, go on, anyway, if this sounds like fun to you, even if it isn't real programming, you will find that over at debartb.ie/PBS for Programming by Stealth.
Nice. If it's like Taming the Terminal, I'll watch it anyway, because although I have been using terminals for eons, I still learn stuff in there. And maybe not even the commands, it was the way you explained this. When I have to explain it to somebody else, I have the ammunition now, thanks to you.
Cool.
Well, I really enjoyed that one, although I knew almost everything. It just was, the way it was explained was entertainment pure, and I actually learned something every now and then, so...
Guys see the explanation of public key encryption using Paint?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. I was talking to Drew over dinner and Batwitch over at Kismet, and I was like, I got it. I totally get it. Perfect. If you can't do it,
it's a lot easier than the discrete logarithm problem.
Yeah, I understand that's not what it is, but the explanation of how it works is brilliant. It's superb. Yeah. Go and have a look on YouTube, and it's public key encryption explained using Paint. Just stick that in, and you'll find it. It's brilliant.
From the
CAN
Institute is the right link.
Yeah, it is the best explanation, totally, and it works as well. You can do it at home with your kids. It's that kind of explanation. It's really cool. Thank you, Bart. Thank you for plugging yourself. Nepotism always rules.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be cheeky enough. But
at least I think so, anyway. That's a sort of joke for those that you listen. Adam.
Who said that? I'm actually going to plug another podcast thing, believe it or not. So if you're like me, you hate like smudges and junk on your iOS devices and your Macs and your screens and stuff like that. And I'm always looking for good like cleaning cloths. The guys over at Cult of Mac podcast have cultofcloth.co, and they sell sets of these awesome cleaning cloths. It's a microfiber. It's got what I really like about them is it has this texture to it that really gets all of the oil and grease and junk off of your devices. They will ship worldwide. They have individual ones. So they have like this 8x8 inch size in the terry cloth thing. They've got a polishing cloth in the 8x8 size. But more importantly for me, especially with the iPad Pro, they got a huge 12x12 one as well. And these are the best ones, cleaning cloths I've ever used, hands down. And you can get them in individuals, or also they have like sets. I'm trying to remember what they call it here. I'm blanking on it. But they have like a little kit. And so the one that I got is $23 US, and you get two of the big ones, two of the little ones, and two of the little polishing ones, all as a set. And it'll cover all of the cleaning you need for all of your iOS devices. So,
excellent, man.
Cool stuff from those. Cult cloth.
Did you say a price?
Huh?
Did you say a price?
They have various prices, but like I said, you get it's $23 US for the two, where you get like six of them.
Right.
So,
okay.
Decent deal.
Cool. Doc, what have you got for us, sir?
Oh, that's pretty cool. I know what I was going to do. Amazon just introduced this new product, which I'm kind of into because I wanted to buy an Echo. I didn't buy it when it was on sale, and I can't bring myself to pay twice as much for it now because I know how much it costs because they sold the other one for cheaper. So I was waiting for something else to come out, and they finally came out with this guy. It's called the Dot. So the Echo Dot is just like the Echo, with the exception of it doesn't have the speaker. I don't really need the speaker because I have some pretty epic Bluetooth speakers around, way too many. So I'm like, this is kind of cool because you can plug it in and get all of the same stuff that you get with Alexa and the standard issue Echo, but you can make it bounce off your home stereo or whatever other speaker you already own. And it can connect via Bluetooth, or it can connect via what you guys call it, 3.5mm cable. So just looks really, really interesting. I've always thought that this idea was kind of cool. I know some people are super freaked out about it. I know Adam likes his, if I remember. So
no, I
think I'm
going to
give this a shot. Huh?
I don't have one yet.
Oh, I thought you bought an Echo. Somebody bought an Echo in our group. Anyway, it's only $89. I don't know what that equates to in the UK because I didn't check. But
we probably can't get it.
Might be worth a look. And I don't know. It just seems cool. And worst case scenario with Amazon, right? Like if you get it and you find out it's super douchey, I hate it, just send it back. They're really, really cool about it. So I'm just going to buy this out of pure curiosity.
Excellent, mate. Yeah, no. Go for it. Good one. Patrice, what have you got for us, sir?
I'm going to pick something really geeky today. For the guys out there that have a Sonos system and want to use AirPlay for it, you know you can use an AirPod Express and connect it to the speaker, do all of that. But there is a better solution or easier solution if you have a Mac or any kind of server running in your house. And that solution is called AirSonos. It's an open source tool that's available on GitHub. The AirSonos is the low-level thing you have to install yourself and basically run a Node.js app on your machine. It's very simple. It starts, it detects all your Sonos speakers and basically makes them available via AirPlay. And that's about it. And then it allows you to stream to your Sonos from any iPhone device, from any iOS device. And there is a app for the Mac, and I'm going to put the link in the chat, that is called Sono Air, and that is basically the easy just install the app, run it solution for your Mac if you want to do that. I of course use the AirSonos thing. I put it on my server and it's working just great. It has a little bit of a delay, but not too bad. So for podcasts and for music and stuff like that, it works really great. So that's
my pick. Can you run this on a Raspberry Pi?
It will run, yeah. Everywhere where you can install Node.js, any low-level system, Unix system, it will work.
Excellent. Good stuff. And last, but by no means least, Gaz.
I've gone for Affinity Photo. It was announced as Application of the Year for 2005, Mac App for the Year for 2015 even. And it's just been updated. It's a Mac App. You can find it in the App Store. It was on offer. Unfortunately, I think that offer's gone down, gone away now because it's now back up to $39.99. But I got it for $29.99. It's got extensions so that you can utilize it in photos, and it's got lots of great reviews. I must admit, I've only just bought it, but I've used it a couple of times in photos, and it's worked a treat for what I needed to do. So. It's a little bit more complicated and probably a bit top heavy for most people if you're just wanting to do some editing. I'm always finding that photos can't quite do what I need it to do. So having that extra power of something like this is great. But it's it's £40, which is still a good price for a top end app. And here's a trick. If you keep your eye open on PayPal, they often have 20% off vouchers. So what I do, as soon as I see those vouchers come available, I'll go and grab a load and top up my iTunes and Mac iOS accounts with those caches. So everything then basically is 20% discounted.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have a Google alert set up for that.
Yes. But Affinity Photo, pop the link in the chat room, and I don't know if you've used it or seen it at all, Ewan, because I know you're a photo man. So
yeah, I've used a lot of their stuff, and it's all top hole. I mean, I think some of the photo stuff that you can get out there, it's like I could achieve this myself because I know what I'm doing in Photoshop. Yeah. But actually, the fudge factor of getting there is just not worth it compared to
that.
That's right.
And that's the fact that it's got an extension in photos as well. And they've got various different applications. So you just go straight in, do the job you want, back out. Great.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. My cool thing is a mouse. Now, one of the problems I've got is I've got big hands. I've got really big hands.
So here he goes again on about his big hand.
Yeah, the Milanese loop won't fit over my big hands. There we go. So here's the standard mouse that I use. It's a Trustpilot one, and it fits in quite nicely. But one of the reasons I don't use the Apple mouse is the fact that it's too small. And I was the mouse wheel goes on those, though, unfortunately, because they're cheap. They were 12 quid, I think, or something like that off Amazon. So I thought, I'm going to buy a decent mouse. What's out there? And I Andrew Mounsley, who's on Twitter, he said, oh, I've just got this, the MX Master. Why don't you give this a go? It's really big and feels nice in the hand. And I bought one. Give over, Adam. Jesus, you're supposed to be the nice one of the bunch. And it actually is. It's a really huge mouse. It's great. What's nice is it's got programmable buttons, so there's 9 programmable buttons on it that you can have, and it's got a nice rolly wheel, and it's got a little rolly wheel on the side here for doing side scrolling as well, which is pretty cool. There's a back button for your browser, and you can change the modes, and you can also do expose and that kind of stuff. And you're going, oh, well, that's okay, well, but it's Logitech, so it's actually probably just a Windows mouse, isn't it? No! It's a Mac mouse. It comes with the DMG stuff that you can shove in, and it does all the programming in OS X. There you go. Perfect. It's not cheap. It's £79 retail if you go to Logitech, or £69 if you have a shop around. Don't buy it at the moment off Amazon, though, because Amazon have got a stocking problem with it. They're sending out the wrong thing at the moment. So they've said, right, we're not sending anything out until we resolve this issue, and it could be a long time before you get it. But PC World are doing a £10 less than Logitech are doing it at the moment, so then I went and bought it. It is absolutely brilliant. It is a beautiful, beautiful mess, and the side-scrolling works really well. I've really started to get using it. The one drawback is natural scrolling. I'd got natural scrolling sorted out, and I can't figure it out on this. And it says there's a natural scrolling switch on it, but I can't do it. I don't know why, so I'm just stupid, obviously. So I'll get there in the end. And just because it's kind of like an affiliated thing, I got sent a review unit this week. This is an Indiegogo project called MacFlip. It's the world's first reversible micro USB, and this is it. It comes in a nice little armoured cable, and it is a completely reversible micro USB. And the reason I got it, because it actually works with me Logitech, it works perfectly fine. But you can plug it in either way up, and it does data exchange, and it does power charging, no matter what. It is absolutely brilliant. They're on an Indiegogo project. I've stuck it in the chat room, so if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and just check on the 24th of March, you'll see the link to it. As little as $15 gets you a gold version of this. And the one that they sent through, the cable is brilliant. I mean, it's really durable. This is going to last you forever, and it's completely reversible, which I've got to say, one thing that I really do value at night when I get home, I've got a Mophie juice pack on my iPhone, and trying to make sure that I fit that in properly so that it starts charging, more often than not I end up, because this is like, you know, maybe I get into the room and I'm a little bit drunk, or maybe I get into the room and I'm tired because I've been on nights and I've come home at 5 o'clock in the morning. And instead of like being sensible and turning the cable over to fit it into the Mophie juice pack, I turn the phone over. So then when I plug it in, it bathes the room in a huge amount of light, and I get my ass kicked off my wife. So. There you go. So go for it. It's called the Mic Flip, MicFlip, and it is a micro USB cable that is utterly reversible. You can stick it in any micro USB slot and it works. It's just brilliant, unbelievable. I'm going to write a review for it, but for now, it's just awesome. Go get it. Back them up. They're on Indiegogo. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Bart?
You can find my two monthly podcasts at let's-talk.ie, or you can find me at bartb.ie.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along, as usual. My pleasure. More often, mate. I'll have a word with Waiters and we'll get you invited more regularly.
Sounds good.
Cheers, mate. Where are you, Mr. Adam Christensen?
Maccast.com or Maccast on iTunes, and you can also check out the iOS show at the iOSshow.com.
And it is the Maccast is the seminal Mac podcast, mate. It's the first.
Yeah.
It's the first podcast I ever listened to. Was your podcast?
Me too.
Well, I've been around for 11 years.
Yeah, and you're younger than me as well. Or only look younger than me. We love Bart, says Batwinch in the chat room. Aye aye, mate. Have you got a pint glass yet or not? She's got a pint glass of orange. There we go. We'll come back to that right at the end. We'll do that as a post-show thrill. Doc, where are you, sir?
I'm in Honolulu, Hawaii, actually. No, I'm normally on the British Network. It used to be twice a week. I'm trying to get it back to that, trying to adjust the schedule around, but always on the Mac Show, anywhere on the internet, at DOCROCK, somewhere eating food on a stick, hanging out with cute women and getting drunk.
We've got one short on the Mac, on the Big Show, mate, if you want to stick.
I got work to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see. Full of promise. Mr. Turkish Delight. and where are you, Patrice?
As always, every week on the Mac Show here on the British Tech Network, on Twitter at @casual_kitchen, and all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Cooking away. You need to talk to Ellis. Ellis wants to be a cook.
Huh? Don't do it.
Don't do it. And last but my name is least, Gaz.
You can find me over at gazmaz.com, on the Twitters, twitter.com/gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z. I do a weekly podcast with my cohort, Guy Searle, and we call ourselves the G-Men over at My Mac Podcast. Part of the Stoplight Network. Hey, Bart, was that professional enough?
Part of the Stoplight Network? I didn't think you had a network, mate. Well done. Yeah. Congratulations.
It's not my network.
Oh, okay.
No, but myself and Gaz, we're both stoplighters.
Yes.
I try. tried being on someone else's network and I just fell out with them, so I didn't bother anymore. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can find me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and but not very often actually at the moment. And you can find me here screaming like a child most weeks. We'll be back again next week, where I will be keeping the production values down and trying to find out what's up with me, allegedly. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Dudes, we got it. See, Steve Jobs sidetracked us, and we got away with letting the FBI freaking quietly bow out of their BS case by saying,
"Oh, shut up, you fanboy moron."
You and Steve pushed that line so hard, and finally, we're proven right that they were totally crap. They were just trying to get access for no other reason than to say they could do it later.
Right, hang on. Whoa, stop, guys. Who wants to see Batwinch's trick with a pint glass?
Who wouldn't?
It does be Brez, it wouldn't know too early.
That's all you're hanging around for, isn't it? Otherwise you go, no, I've got a call, sorry.
Well, I'll do it, I'll do that.
Here we go, you ready? Go on, Mullock, show us. Hang on, whoa, you're out of focus, dude. You're out of focus, get the focus. Get the focus. Here we go. Here we go. Keep her in shot, man.
I don't see what you see.
There you go, that's a talent. That is a frigging talent right there. Especially in front of a 12-year-old. Social services, you can contact me at BritishTownNetwork@gmail.com.
It is out of focus. I couldn't see what I was...
Always useful when you need spare hands.
Might see you next
Yeah,
week.
you could do that and hack and ice at the same time.